Let us look at
the book of Habakkuk. Just turn to the page between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Flip back a few pages and you come on to Habakkuk. Some of you may be wondering why I choose this book of Habakkuk to study with you for today and 2 Sundays to follow. Now, this book, sorry, it's not on. This book is very relevant to us today. And there are 2 or 3 reasons why I am not, why I am doing this study. This is the problem with technology. This time was okay. Well, let's commence from the beginning again. That was the problem of some technical fault. So let's start. Now, some of you may be wondering why I chose to study with you this book of Habakkuk, a book that is very small and hidden in the Old Testament. As you will see later on, this book is relevant, very relevant to what we are facing in your personal life and also in this country, as a citizen of this country, that what occurred and what happened in the time of Habakkuk, we can see even today in our present situation. Many of us would ask this question, where are you, God? And this was Habakkuk's question. A lot of things were happening in his time. There were so many wrong things, and he did not know what to do and what to think of them. Where was God? He cried out, God, there's so much injustice, there's so much crime, there's so much unfairness. What are you doing about it? Isn't that our very cry today, even living as citizens in this country? In fact, Christians in this country have been challenged. Why are you keeping your mouth shut? The point is, should we keep our mouth shut or should we keep our mouth open and talk and talk? And as we have seen and as we have heard, so many have opened their mouth to talk and they talk all nonsense, rubbish. So it is important that we know where we stand. Is God in control? And perhaps also some personal lives here. There may be some individuals who are going through very difficult times. Perhaps being stricken with a bedridden disease. And you cry out, Lord, heal me, heal me. And you have been lying down on that bed for quite a long time. And you don't seem to hear God's answer. Or perhaps you have suffered so long, or as I have recently encountered, a person who knows what the future is if she continues in that kind of situation, that she will ultimately suffer a long time on the bed as bedridden patient. And she doesn't want to know that, to go through that. And she cries out, take my life. And if God does not want to take her life, she is prepared to take her life her own self. And so these are the cries that we are going to deal with in the next 3 weeks, beginning from today. Then God seems to answer. But the answer that God gives to us does not seem to be the answer that we expect. It is the very opposite, perhaps, of what we expect. And we cry out, God, how can you do this to me? How can you do this to me? This, therefore, we will find in Habakkuk chapter 1 as we go through. Now, today I'm not going to rush through the study of this book because I'm fortunate enough to have 3 chapters. So I will not rush through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 in 3 weeks. But I will just go on. For example, today, to where I need to stop, I'll stop. And then I'll continue with the next section next week. I will not be bound by the chapter divisions, but I will be bound by the time that is ahead of me to finish that which I need to say and not rush it over. All right. Today, we should deal with why does God not judge? Or when God judges, what happens? Let me give you the background first. It would be very good if you can look at your Bible. Don't just look at the screen. It is a Bible study, and I want you to look at the Bible so that when you go home and you study the book Habakkuk, you read through verse by verse, you will know what it means because I have already explained it. If you don't, then when you go back, you will not know what it means. We'll deal with the title of the book first. What is the title of the book? Of course, it is brought to us as a burden, as an oracle. That's what it says there. The prophecy of the burden of Habakkuk, the prophet. All right. What is meant by burden here, as we read in the King James Version, or if you use your NIV oracle? Burden literally means something that which is pressed down and which is lifted up, a burden. And this is a burden to Habakkuk. But it is a burden in a special sense because it is a prophecy, and that's what oracle means. It's a prophecy of things to come. It is with regard to God's judgment that is going to fall upon God's people in the days to come. And that is a burden. In a special way, many of us carry our own burdens. As I pointed out earlier, those who are bedridden, they have their own burden. Those who are caregivers to these people who are bedridden, they have their burden. These days, many of the young people have burdens. What kind of burdens? They have burdens to balance their income with their expenditure. They have burden of so many things around as they see the unfairness and the injustice around. They feel very, very burdened. What do you do when you are burdened in that way? God gives the answer. He gives answer through a revelation. He says to Habakkuk, write what you see. He reveals to Habakkuk what he is going to do. I'd like you to note that this is a revelation and not an explanation. God need not have to explain to us why he does this, why he allows these things to happen to us, why he allows these things to happen in our country or in other places elsewhere in the world that affect his people. He has no need to explain, but he will reveal. And that's what we need to know. What is his plan? Why he allows this? He reveals his plan and what he is going to do in the future to answer our prayer. In this particular case, Habakkuk's prayer. So the question, how long, Lord? In verse 2, how long? Why does not God judge? How long? The answer in verses 5 to 11, I'm just going through this very generally first because this is an introduction. I'm not going through text by text yet. God gives an answer. And you'll be surprised if you have a quick glance at what God is going to do. God is going to bring the enemy, their enemy, to judge them and to punish them. Next question. God, that's unfair. Why do you bring our enemies to punish us? And you are not punishing us. And God gives the answer. God gives the answer why he is doing that. So, in general, in summary, Habakkuk's cry is still this. Why does not God not hear? Why does God not help? That is the cry. And perhaps that may be the cry of some people here, even internally and spiritually. God, where are you? I'm crying out for you to come and help me. I'm going through a difficult phase in my life. Help. Look at the next part. It says there is a prophet, Habakkuk. The meaning of Habakkuk is embrace. We are not sure whether it is to be taken in an active voice or a passive voice. Active voice means to embrace. Passive voice means to be embraced. Whatever way, his name embrace would mean that if taken passively, he would be embraced. That when God is going to bring all the judgment to come upon his people to punish them, he would be embraced. He would be protected. Habakkuk, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You will be embraced. You will be loved. You will be protected. Remain faithful. Or could it mean that he will embrace actively, that in spite of all the things that will befall his people, he will trust God, that God will do all things right. Although seemingly things seem to go wrong, but God will do all things right. He will embrace God in faith. Yes, he will embrace God and he will cling to God, although he may not understand. And you will find that at the end of the book, in chapter 3, verses 16 to 18 and 19, when all things fail, when there are no fruits in the garden, when there are no lambs in the fold, when the flowers do not blossom, Lord, when I see all these things around me, when all things are going against me, I will trust you because you are so different. At the end of the book, you can look at the end, just flip one or two pages over. You will find in chapter 3, verse 19, he writes there to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. In other words, chapter 3, after his experiences in chapters 1 and 2 with God, he comes up with a praise, a doxology. Thank you, Lord, for all that I have seen that you have revealed to me. I do not understand, but I praise you, I trust your character, I have faith in you. And you can know that this is a musical piece from the notation there to the chief singer on my string instruments. Then you can also see the word Sila occurring in chapter 3, verse 3, verse 9, and verse 13. These are musical instruments. In other words, chapter 3 has become a doxology, a hymn that is going to be sung in the temple. It would also mean, therefore, that Habakkuk was not only a prophet, but he would be also a priest, a Levite perhaps, that he would be able to lead in the services, and there would be worship, that in spite of all the things around, he would still worship God. Right, the time the book was written. When was this book written? Because we need to understand the circumstances when the book was written in order to follow what is going on. Now, if you have two fingers, one finger keep to Habakkuk and use another finger to flip over to Second Kings chapter 22 and chapter 23. And I would like you to note, I won't refer to it, but I'd like you to note that this section, chapters 22, 23, would be a biography of King Josiah. He was one of the best kings in Judah. He came about with many, many, many reforms, and Judah became prosperous in the sight of God. He pulled down altars, he brought in justice, and he put down crimes and so on. And you'll find that in verses 25 to 28 of chapter 23, he was recognized for what he was, a good king. After that, yet Jehoahaz replaced him. He was a bad king. And if you look at verse 32 of chapter 23, you'll find that he lasted only 3 months. He did all that was evil. He did not follow his father. After that, there was Jehoiakim, or Eliakim, who thought he was clever. He showed King Nebuchadnezzar's representatives the golden furniture and things in the temple. That gave an idea to the Babylonian king to later take to remove them all. Jehoiakim rebelled against the king and he was replaced. And chapter 24, verses 1 to 6, you'll find that he was replaced, and later on, he would be the one who did evil in the sight of God. And God, in Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 13 to 18, you can see there what God thought of him. He was never a good king. Jehoiakim later on became king after him, and then he too was removed when he rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar. The last king of these four kings, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiakim, and Zedekiah, the four kings were the last evil kings in the history of Judah. And Zedekiah was told by God to surrender to the enemy because God was using the enemy to punish Judah, but he refused. And the result was he was caught by Nebuchadnezzar and his eyes were taken out. That you can read in 2 Kings chapter 24. And with that, Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem, besieged Jerusalem, razed the temple to the ground, and Judah was captured and taken into captivity. And you read all that in 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 1 to verse 21. Now that was in the year 606 to 586 BC. Now this is important. That's why I give you the history. Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem 3 times. besieged Jerusalem 3 times. And this first one was in 606. After that, there were 2 more. Until the 3rd time, the temple was razed to the ground. So, if that be the case, Habakkuk must have been written just 1 or 2 years before King Nebuchadnezzar took Judah into captivity. That will be about 607 BC. Anyway, what we know is that the Babylonians attacked after Habakkuk had prophesied. Right, let's go back to Habakkuk now. The theme and purpose of the book. Habakkuk's questions and God's answers. Chapter 1. Why was their violence and injustice not punished? Chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, verses 5 to 11. All right. After 1, 2 to 4, God answers. Then Habakkuk questions again. After that, from verse 12 onwards, God again answers. Why? Because in the first question, 1, 2 to 4, Habakkuk asks, why is not God punishing? Why is God so deaf? Why is God not answering? How long must I cry? And then God gives the answer, verses 5 to 11. All right. After that, when Habakkuk found out the answer, Habakkuk was so happy. He said, why use the Babylonians to punish us? A more violent and ruthless people to punish Judah, a less barren people. And that the answer again came in chapter 1, verse 12. To chapter 2. All right. So Habakkuk was confused. Very confused. And I'm sure many of us here will be confused as what we are seeing what's going on. We see the injustice that's going on in our country. We see the crimes that are going on. We see the violence that's going on. We see the discrimination that is going on. We see all sorts of things that are going on. Justice seems to be perverted. And we cry out, Lord, what is going on? They're confused. Habakkuk's conclusion is trust God. And Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4 is the main theme of his book. The just shall live by faith. It is so important to trust God that this became quoted in the New Testament at least 3 times. The gist of it is trust God. His person, his power, and his plan. And that is summarized for us in Habakkuk chapter 3. When at the end of it all, he said he had full trust, full faith in God, his person, his power, and his plan. You see, those of us who are in very difficult circumstances now, we need to trust God for who he is. We need to trust that he has the power to lift us up from our situation and also to lift that burden from us, and we need to wait for his time. And that's the important thing. His person, his power, and his plan for us. Now, this theme, the just shall live by faith, is quoted 3 times in the New Testament. And let's see how it is used. Firstly, it is quoted in Romans 1:17. Faith in God is the substance of our righteousness. It says there, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, Paul said. Now, Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, he was writing to them about the justice of God. He said God was just. All people are unrighteous. There is none righteous. No, not one. And because there is none righteous and all are unjust, the God had to send his son, Jesus Christ, the just one, to die for the unjust. And he became the propitiation for our sins. And therefore, through this, we are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. And so we see, therefore, that Paul could use this verse to emphasize the just shall live by faith. Again, he wrote in Galatians 3:11 that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. When Paul wrote the letter to the Galatians, his emphasis was about the Christian walk. He said, we walk not by sight, but by faith. Not by sight, but by faith. He emphasized on the walk, and he said that those who walk in the Christian faith must bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so the emphasis is on walk. The just shall live by faith. Then later on, Paul wrote to the Hebrews, faith keeps on trusting. And again, he wrote in chapter 10, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Paul, writer to the Hebrews, had said in chapter 11, it is impossible to please God without faith. And so you find this quotation, the just shall live by faith, is quoted 3 times in the New Testament, each book emphasizing one part of that conclusion, the just shall live by faith, according to each book. The just shall live by faith. How do we look at it? That we must continue to have faith in God when things around us go wrong. When things go around us go contrary to what we expect, when God does not seem to answer our prayer, we must trust Him. Trust His person, trust His power, trust His plan. We must wait for His time. The just shall live by faith. Or it can be looked at in another way. The just shall live by our faithfulness. Be faithful. Whatever happens, don't give up. I'm very sad that lately I have heard of people who have left our assemblies. The faithfulness is not there. Because of certain reason, because of certain circumstances, people leave. The just shall live by faith. Now, only it's time for us to really study Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1, and let's go from where, as far as we can go from now onwards. So let's start. The first section, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, deals with Habakkuk's prevailing problems. What are they? What are the problems for which he cried out, how long, how long? His persistent cry and call for help. I'm not sure whether you recognize this or not. Look at Jeremiah chapter 22 first, and you see what I mean. Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 13 to 19. Now, these were the problems that Habakkuk faced in his time. Verse 13, woe unto him who buildeth his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers by wrong, who useth his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not for his work, who saith, I will build myself a white house and large chambers, and cutteth out windows, and it is paneled with cedar and painted with vermilion. You can see now in the picture how these things are coming up. Shall thou reign because thou canst clothe thyself in cedar? Did not thy father eat and drink and do justice and so on? So this was the circumstances. These were the circumstances at that time, where people took corrupted money, built big houses for them. This is not strange. In our own country, we see this happening, and there is no judgment given to them. And if at all any judgment is given to them, the sentence was very, very light compared to some other who had committed crimes that would be very insignificant and yet would be sentenced to a heavy penalty. This is injustice. It had been unnecessary wrong. And he cried out, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry?" Right, let's look back to Habakkuk. And it says there, "How long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee?" Now the word cry in the two occasions that they occur in that verse are two different words. One is cry, to make known, and the other one is screaming out. "Oh Lord, how long must I cry?" He's screaming out to God to see this bad situation he's in. It had been unanswered, and thou wilt not hear. And perhaps, again, this is our situation today. Not only for the individual who have some problems in their individual lives, "Lord, how long must I cry before you come into my life and do something for me? How long?" And perhaps as a citizen in this country, "How long, Lord?" We see all these things around us. I'm sure many of us who are of the older age, like myself, we have never seen such a situation before of so much injustice, and yet very little is done. How long? The prevailing circumstances, chapter 1 and verse 3. What's wrong? What's wrong? There was iniquity. There was grievance. Iniquity means injustice and wrongdoing. Grievance means trouble and wrong all around. And we see this around us today. Injustice. Isn't that injustice? People who have committed crimes, light crimes, are given heavy penalties, and people who have committed big crimes are given light sentences. People who have done wrong, who have just spoken, are committed to a jail term, and others are just let go one overnight on remand, and then let free, and so on. This is a terrible situation that we see. There are a lot of people with grievances. The grassroots are grieved, but they cannot say anything much. They can only wait for the coming elections. Spoiling and violence around. Those who have been appointed to prosecute the criminals, they are abducted, they are murdered, they are killed, and they are put into, after they have been murdered, they are put into oil drums and cemented and so on. Can we see this kind of violence all around us? And that was also what Habakkuk saw. Destruction would mean violent treatment causing desolation. Violence means malicious conduct intended to injure another. Those who are able to prosecute and bring about righteousness are removed, and so on. So our circumstances today are no different from Habakkuk's time. Strife and contention among the people, we see in chapter 1, verse 3. There's a lot of strife among people, fighting with another, right, with racial conflicts, religious conflicts, social conflicts, economic conflicts, people not happy with one another. Where is the diversity and unity? There's no more. It's not to be tolerated. And so, likewise, in the time of Habakkuk, there's this strife and contention among the people. How long, God, before you come in and step in into the situation? Conclusion, chapter 1, verse 4. You are not coming in. You are not stepping in. So what can I conclude? Therefore, justice never prevails, and the law is paralyzed. Now, that is the conclusion of Habakkuk. Where is justice? Justice is blind. It is numb, paralyzed. Note, please, we shall come back to this afterwards. It's paralyzed. It cannot do anything. It cannot bring other people to justice. It is numbed. Paralyzed means becomes cool. Therefore, justice is perverted. The wicked person goes free. the person who is innocent gets criminalized. The person who reports, or the whistleblower, reports on something criminal, he is put into jail. The one who commits the crime is left free. Where is justice? Justice is perverted, is twisted all round. The wicked hem in the righteous. And so the righteous keep quiet because they are afraid. They are afraid that the moment they open their mouth to report something wrong, they will be put into jail. And so we see these things happening. Perverted means to bend or twist out of shape. And laws are good laws, but these laws are twisted out of shape in order to suit the needs of the people who want to pervert the crime. With wicked men in power, justice was twisted and turned till it came out injustice. Now, please understand, what I'm saying now are just illustrations of what really happened in the time of Habakkuk. And that's why Habakkuk, as a prophet and as a priest who is holy, he could not see all this. And he cried out, Lord, how can justice be done like that in a world that is so unfair? God's amazing answer. Chapter 1, verses 5 to 11. The answer will be amazing, God says. Verse 5. God says there, behold, among the nations, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not even believe it, though it be told to you. You will not believe it. It's amazing. What is that? Jerusalem will be destroyed. Judah will be captives. Yes, Jerusalem will be destroyed completely. Judah, all the people in Judah, will be taken away captives. Who? Why? How? Because I'm going to send the Babylonians, the Chaldeans. They will be cruel. The Babylonians will be brutal. They will come and they will take away all the people in Judah so that they will be in captivity for 70 years. Now, all this has not come to pass yet. It still has to be fulfilled. True enough, when the time came, Babylon came and took Judah into captivity for 70 years. And do you know why they were taken into captivity? Not only for the reasons that I explained earlier of the injustice around, but there was one reason God gave for taking the people out of the land of Judah into captivity. Because God had commanded in the law that the people of Israel must keep the Sabbath for the land. Every seventh year, the land could be cultivated. The land must have a rest. 6 years, the land could be cultivated. On the seventh year, the land must have a rest and the land must not be cultivated. No planting must be done. But the people were so greedy, they did not bother about what God had commanded. And so every year they kept on planting and planting and planting and testing the ground. So that perhaps from the looks of it, it would be about 490 years. The land missed its Sabbath. And God said, for the 70 years that the land did not have its Sabbath, I'll take you out of the land so that the land could have its Sabbath, accumulated Sabbath for 70 years. And that's where the land rested. And it's important for us, in direct application, that the Lord even has laid down this day, the Lord's day, for His remembrance. Then we should keep it. Because we do not know, a day may come when God will accumulate all those weeks that we are not here, and God will charge us accordingly. So that was the captivity of Judah. The Babylonians would come, see what kind of people. Verse 6 to verse 10. And I tell you what, I'm going to stop here because I think it is already time. I will not rush through. We'll carry on from here next week and see how these Babylonians come and attack the land and took away the Israel, Judah into captivity. In the meanwhile, may I suggest that you go home and read the rest of Habakkuk. It's only 3 chapters. It takes only a short time. You will enjoy reading it. And then when you listen to what is taught next week and the week after, you will appreciate much better. May the Lord bless you as we close now, and grant that you will do your homework and come prepared next Sunday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there are times when we do not understand who you are, what you are, what you do, and when you will do. In such times as this, Lord, give us the faith to trust thee, that, Lord, we may know thy person, thy power, and thy plan, so to work it out in our lives. Trust, help us, O Lord, so to have faith in thee. Thank you for what we have learned from thy word, and we do pray that we continue to help us even as we study this book of Habakkuk, that week by week we may know more about thy person, be amazed by who you are and what you do. We commit this country into your hands. We pray, O Lord, that you will step in so that justice and righteousness will prevail in this country. We ask these things, Lord, as we commit ourselves to thee, especially tomorrow when the parliament in this country meets and when a lot of things will be thrashed out. We do pray for grace, for thy power to overcome all the obstacles and problems that this country faces. We ask these things, Lord, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.